Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We have a very special guest. He's going to talk about the subject, Tantra. What it is, what it isn't, why is it an important life skill for both men and women, how it can solve relationship issues, build more intimacy with your partner, and more. He's a certified Tantra educator. After facing a severe back injury, divorce, bankruptcy, homelessness, he studied holistic wellness and Tantra to heal his mind, body, and spirit. Let me introduce you to Shiva J.
Hold your station, this education is relevant. The motivation through conversation is evident. We're talking spiritual body, mind development. This is the manhood experiment.
Before we continue, we need your help. We'd like to reach more like-minded people just like you and share our knowledge on personal growth, health, and success. So can you do us a favor and in your podcast app, hit the subscribe button and give us a 5-star review and leave us an encouraging comment. Do it right now while you listen to this episode. That will help us know you're listening and that you care, and a little action will help us reach more folks. Now back to our show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Manhood Experiment. In this episode, we have a very special guest. He's going to talk about the subject, Tantra, what it is, what it isn't, why is it an important life skill for both men and women, how it can solve relationship issues, build more intimacy with your partner, and more. At the end of this episode, you're going to have a basic understanding into the subject and have access to more resources on this amazing skill. Now, I've known this gentleman since 2016. Let me introduce you to Shiva J. Shiva J is a certified Tantra educator. He's a Kundalini yoga teacher, somatic body worker, certified life coach, licensed clinical hypnotherapist, and master NLP practitioner with over 20 years of experience in the fitness world. After facing a severe back injury, divorce, bankruptcy, homelessness, he studied holistic wellness and Tantra to heal his mind, body, and spirit. He now helps clients transform their lives using this unique perspective of the mind-body-spirit connection and offer private sessions, workshops, and retreats, which we'll get into. Let's introduce Shiva. Shiva, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that intro, which pretty much included my entire resume.
There you go. And we have on J-Dragon and Big Dreams. How you guys doing? Little meet and greet.
What's up? Happy to be here. Happy to dig into this topic. I got a little familiarity with it, but we're glad to have you here, Shiva J. And I mean, that sounds like a cool enough hip hop name. You know, we all got our aliases here with T-Rex, Big Dreams. I mean, I don't even think you need to mix that up unless you got something hot, another hot alias.
Shiva J, I dig it. Shiva J in the house. Watch your mouth. I like it. Hey, man, we're glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much. We're excited about this show. I got some stories that I kind of want to connect with you on, maybe a little more comedic, but let's get into it. Oh, by the way, how's everything been with y'all?
Fantastic.
Man, we're good over here going through them seasons. I think, as a lot of people can relate, we got the season of the sickness, the immune system, people trying to compromise it out here. I'm staying resilient, even though it's infiltrated the house. The little one probably brought it back, but but man, life's good. Fun season right now.
Yeah,
it's good to get back here and huddle with the fellas and dive into another topic. How you doing, Big Dreams?
I'm good, man. We just had the season of gratitude, so I had the in-laws in for a little bit. Brother-in-laws this time, so that was pretty cool. We kept it real quaint, real small, no matter how, you know, what people think about the original story of Thanksgiving. We got our own tradition of just what we appreciate. We just see it as a time to be with family and just be grateful for what we have thus far. It's crazy. We already in December, y'all.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And Shiva J, you, sir. Oh, hold on, T. I'm sorry. I skipped you.
Oh, no. Man, you know, I've been recovering from a flu last week. That's why we postponed this. But as Jay said, it's a seasonal thing, and it's getting pretty cold in Vegas. I'm flying to the Caribbean. I'm flying to Trinidad in less than two weeks. So I look forward to that.
Family time.
Yeah, family time. That's my dad's beautiful. Birthday is coming up, so I want to celebrate with him.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. It's Shiva J. How you been, sir? Thank you, like you said, for being on the show. You ready to do this?
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. We have a pool of questions here. I want to kick us off. Shiva, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do? What do you practice? What do you teach?
It's a pretty broad question. Let's see.
Yeah.
I guess my overarching reaching title would be Tantra Educator. And underneath that umbrella term are a lot of different things that I do. I work with both men and women. The title that I use, that I sign off with, is Transformational Empowerment Coach. But the toolkit that I draw from is based solely in Tantra. I work with men around intimacy issues, communication issues, relationship issues. I work with women a little bit differently. I work with women in somatic practices, more embodiment type work. And many of my clients are trauma survivors. And I have a huge soft spot in my heart for anyone who has been through any type of trauma. And we live in a world where a lot of things happen, and we don't really have in our modern day practices ways to help people transmute and transcend emotions that are stuck in the body as a result of trauma. And that's kind of what I do, is I help people move through this stuff that's stuck in their bodies. And, you know, Western psychology is an amazing system. I would not knock talk therapy. It certainly has its place and it can be helpful, but it has its limits. And the Tantra Toolkit picks up where Western psychology, in my opinion, just kind of leaves off, and helps people take that final step towards, you know, finally releasing any kind of trauma that might be stored in the body. So the practice, by the way, that I teach from, I've had a number of different Tantra teachers myself over the years, spanning over 20 years at this point, currently an apprentice with a Tantra teacher in the Mahamudra lineage, which is traceable back at least 1,200 years that we can verify, and rumored to go back almost 12,000 years. And it's got some really amazing teachings to it. The philosophy is incredibly beautiful. And the more that I have delved into the subject, the more I study, the more that I read, the more I realize that this is an amazing path that more people need to learn about. So I've committed my life to offering it to the world and teaching it.
I have a question. I'm not sure if you know, don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you know, like, historically where it came from, continent-wise, like culture-wise, or, you know, just a little history there?
Yeah, of course.
Got some roots there, 12,000 years.
Yeah, Tantra originated, without a doubt, from India. And interestingly enough, most modern-day Indian people don't have a real strong relationship to Tantra. Tantra kind of was born in India and moved outside of India quite some time ago. You can find Tantra in many countries, in Tibet, you can find it in Iran, you can find it in some sects of the Muslim countries. Iraq has its own version. In Africa, they have a version. I have met and found Tantra teachers all over the world that offer a variety of different teachings, but primarily it definitely has its roots from India.
Okay.
And thousands of years ago, when there were marauding armies invading India on the regular to go in and rape and pillage all of their amazing, beautiful art and artifacts, the people of India kind of went, you know, we're kind of tired of people coming in here stealing all our stuff. You want the Tantra? Take it. It's not ours. It belongs to the people of the world. And they started offering it out to the world and kind of separated themselves because they were tired of people having to come in and steal it. They're like, you know, hey, if you want it, it's yours.
Got you. No, that's great history. Just to kind of have those roots there gets me a little bit more understanding of how it's not Western practice and, you know, the differences that we might explore going on in this conversation.
I wanted to touch on, you know, when I hear the word Tantra, I think there's just stereotypes, you know, and excuse my lack of knowledge. I think my first understanding of it is as a kid going through my parents' room and I found a book on like the joy of sex or something like that. And I heard this this terminology of tantra, and it was like some sort of kind of taboo type of thing, or maybe something that people spoke of in private when they were comfortable. But I think that for those listening that are kind of like, you know, tantra who, tantra what, you know, I just wanted to put that out there from like the typical stereotypes that I hear about it. I'm a lot more open-minded and would love to explore it. And that's just what I think about when I first hear it. So I think it's really exciting that you can tie things into coaching or trauma. And, you know, I'm really excited to go there. And I know one of the questions that I had, so like the definition of tantra, we talk about where it came from. And so let's dive into how do people end up coming to you, and what are people seeking when they're trying to explore? Or is it something that you, when people come seeking something, that tantra is an answer or a pathway or a doorway for them?
Yeah, those are a couple of really big and very important questions. So I'll start with the definition. Tantra is, it has many, the word itself means to weave and loom. And so you could probably ask 10,000 different tantra practitioners, what is tantra? And you would get 10,000 different answers, all of them very unique. None of them would be wrong. And that is because tantra encompasses so many different things. And one of the tantric teachings, one of the philosophies, is that tantra says yes to everything. And when we say yes to everything, what we are suggesting is that everything is divine right, has a purpose. And when we say yes to everything, it also means saying yes to all aspects of our humanity, which includes the shadowy side, including the sexuality side. And so tantra works to wrap and weave all of these things together to create a whole and complete system. It's a philosophy. It's a religion. It's a spiritual path. It is a path to enlightenment. And I like to clarify that when I say it is a path to enlightenment, I'm not suggesting that it is the only path. There are many paths. There's Buddhism. There's Zen Buddhism. There are many, what I would call ascetic paths or solo paths, which require you to go spend hours and or weeks or months in deep meditation by yourself. And hopefully, if you meditate long enough and hard enough, maybe one day you reach enlightenment. And I don't know about you, but that sounds really freaking boring to me. I don't want to go spend the rest of my life living in a dark cave or sitting underneath a tree meditating in order to maybe one day to enlighten it. The beauty of tantra is that we have a community, and we come together as community to help each other. We become mirrors and reflectors for each other so that we speed up the growth process and hopefully reach enlightenment a lot sooner. And the great part about this is we do it in a short little burst, and you don't have to commit your entire life to hours and weeks and months of meditation in a dark room somewhere. You do it in a short burst. You do it with your community. You do it with your friends. And over time, you slowly but surely get to that point. When I'm teaching tantra, one of the things that I like to start with can be a little bit jolting. And I like to start with this because it's important to understand that tantra is a personal development path. It is a spiritual growth path. And as such, it's dangerous. It is one of the most dangerous paths that one could possibly take. Why would I say that? Why do I tell that to a new person exploring tantra? Well, quite simply because tantra will challenge you to reconsider all of your what we call BS, your belief systems. You're constantly going to be taking a look at your belief systems, looking at your shadows, and it's going to bring up everything that could possibly trigger you and have you constantly reinvestigate it and reaffirm and reassess it until it is no longer a trigger. And so, yeah, it's dangerous. We have a very Western mindset here in America that sex is somehow dirty or shameful, and it's indoctrinated into our culture here, so much so that we have regulations around it. We will show shootings, people shooting each other in the face in movies and TV, but dare you show two people in the act of making love? We just don't do that. It's very, very taboo. So, of course, tantra gets this kind of negative connotation around its relationship with sexuality, but it is not all about sex. It's just one particular component of tantra, because tantra is based in a chakra-based system, seven chakras. Only one of those has to do with sex. So I like to say it's only 1/7 of the equation. Your second chakra is your sex center, and that is only one piece of it. And in order to be a whole and complete human being, we can't deny any aspect of our humanity, so we include the sexuality piece. I've had many different tantra teachers over the years, and so I've asked the question to each one of my teachers, well, how do you define tantra? And I've always been really surprised when each one of them gives me a very different answer. And no two were ever the same. One of my Tantra teachers says that Tantra is the art and ritual of falling in love with yourself. And you do this on a repetitive basis. You just work on loving yourself. That's her complete definition. And it's, her entire practice is focused around helping people love themselves. For me, Tantra provided a number of tools that helped me in ways that I didn't even know I needed help. So my definition of Tantra is that it is the art and ritual of being present with what is. Not of how it could be, should be, might be, maybe, might be, but how it is. To be completely at peace with all that is and just be in the moment. One of my other amazing, great teachers was an energy master, and his definition of Tantra is this big, beautiful expression of how we're all connected through energy. And it is this ritual of identifying these energies and allowing yourself to be present with all of the energies, not trying to control them or guide them or move them, but to just acknowledge that they're there and be with them.
I like that. I want to touch on that and expand on that. When you said, because I buy into the idea that we are energy, we interpret energy, we spread, we share energy. When you're referring to that, are you referring to energy like meridians in our body or energy like levels? Because I've heard the term when you talked about shadow work, and I've heard that people have different blocks in certain areas, you know, and I'm not very experienced with this, but I guess maybe just expand a little bit how you relate that to energy, or maybe dumb that down or translate that to the everyday person.
Yeah, it's something that I'm currently working on in my own practices. So thanks for the question. I'm sure that you could all agree that if you were to walk into a room or a business somewhere, and there was somebody in that room that was emitting a dark, heavy, angry energy, you could feel the presence of that energy. You just immediately know it's off in this room. It only takes one really angry person in a room for you to be able to feel that. And you might walk into a different room and there's a lot of joy and happiness. And when you walk in, you just feel at ease immediately. And you're like, oh, well, there you take. It's just this energetic field that's in and around us. Every once in a while, I'll talk to somebody about the concepts of energy. And it's always a science person who's like, oh, I don't believe in that. And I'm like, yeah, but aren't we all made up of atoms? Positive protons, which is energy. Atoms are constantly moving within our body and interacting with and chemical reactions and all sorts of things. It's all energy. So when somebody says, oh, I don't believe in energy, I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's
cause, yeah. No, I concur with that. Because we're always talking about, if you don't know, my undergraduate studies was optical engineering. And there's a subject in optical engineering where we always talk about light in the form of a wave and then light as a photon. If light is a photon, you're accepting light as a particle. So that's like the physical aspect, which means it can actually move something else out the way if this molecule comes in contact with something else. So just for those science buffs out there, energy is definitely connected in both wavelengths and frequency as well as physical presence. There you go.
Yeah. So you mentioned how it can help people with trauma. I think just maybe the time that we're in, or maybe it just happens to be like our environment. But I feel like we're in a time where generally more people are open to exploring this idea of trauma. And I had read something recently that trauma can be defined as like trauma for one thing. It's how people interpreted a traumatic situation, which can create these blocks in life as we go on. And so I would love just to talk a little bit about, because I think there's some people that maybe have not had that conversation or really even explored that at all. So like when we talk about trauma, I just wanted to clear up, it's not necessarily that we had a very general traumatic experience. Like it could be things that we just interpreted as trauma, you know, as a child or a kid. But can you just give a little idea there and how that can affect someone's life, even grown up and, you know, pulled out of that situation?
Yeah, actually. So trauma is a very complex thing because it occurs for different people in different ways. And you're absolutely right to say that it is about interpretation. And who's to say that someone's interpretation of an experience is right or wrong? That's not what we do in Tantra. What we do is meet them where they're at and acknowledge that, yeah, this thing happened to you. Even if you're sitting here listening to their story and you know that the entirety of the story is complete and total bullshit, you're like, okay, this was their experience. It really doesn't matter. That's the way that they're perceiving it. So the process for helping them transmute that is not to sit there and tell them they're wrong. That's not how it happened. you just acknowledge it. You give them empathy and compassion for what their experience was, even if it's completely way out, crazy left field. And usually what that does is just knowing that somebody's listening to them and hearing them, that calmed their nervous system enough for them to just kind of come down out of the trauma response. Persons who have experienced trauma typically will lock these things into their body, into their nervous system. And so similar actions or activities out in the world will continue to wreak havoc on their nervous system. And after a while, they're just, their nerves are frayed. And some people with trauma have a really hard time with certain types of situations. Like I know a person that they can't go out into a busy place. They experienced trauma in a busy place at one time where there was a shooting. And of course, now every time they go out and they're somewhere busy, their nervous system has them on edge and they just want to get the hell out of there. The flight freeze response is coming into play and they're just like, oh, I want to get out of here. So when I'm working with somebody with a traumatic response, there is body work, breath work, movement, sounding practices that we use to help them reprogram their nervous system so that they can release that stored energy. And that's what it is. It's energy stored somewhere in the body. You might argue, oh, it's just their thought, their mindset, which may or may not be true. It's just not the approach that we're using. What we want to do is meet them where they're at and help them find the tools for themselves for transmuting and moving that through the body. Some of those tools are movement, breath, sounding practices, patterning, touching, things like that to help the body release those stored energies.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating because the Western psychologist just wants the person to talk about it over and over and over again. And I'm not saying that that's ineffective because certainly it has its time and place. It works for some people. But most of my clients that come to me have tried talk therapy over and over and over again and just never got anywhere with it.
Hmm. So do you also kind of, I know how the Western piece, they keep in like folders on each client and things like that. Is that something that you find necessary in your practice to where each individual, you might take a number of different tools from what Tantra offers or so, and then you kind of come up with your own combination of the, I guess, exercises that would most help this person in a sense?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I do an intake with a client. We'll talk. Once somebody has expressed interest in working with me, I have them fill out an intake form. Then we get on the phone, we go over the intake form, I set an appointment, they come in, and then we go a little bit deeper. And before I do any work with a client, I get a big snapshot of everything that may be going on in their life. And then I kind of, using my toolbox, will say, hey, based on what you've told me today, this is what I'd like to do in our session work. And you know, I want them to agree that that will work for them because it's always consent-based. And I explain to them what the work will entail. And if they say yes, then we move forward. And I do keep copious notes, and that's important. Most of my clients come for 1 to 3 sessions and report massive changes after that. You know, and by the way, I mean, most of my clients have had some sort of sexual based trauma. A few are more like child abuse, or like I just shared, like that person that was in a shooting in a public place, their nervous system was just fried. They couldn't be out in a public place at all after that. And I gave them some practices and some homework to do. And from what I understand, they're now taking the city bus again. They're doing well.
That's good.
That's cool.
That's really good. Hey, listeners, this is Big Dreams. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank you all for listening to today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. Please follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Manhood Experiment. There, you'll find the latest giveaways and some very funny behind-the-scenes moments. Now, back to the show.
Well, I want to dig a little deeper on this just to like really get a grasp on it for the listeners. And you don't have to go into detail since these are people's personal stories, but let's just talk like 3 examples of maybe everyday people, just so we can maybe either get rid of some misconceptions or just get an understanding. And it could be brief, but like what somebody came to you for and the outcome as far as maybe the new lens that they have or their new way of interpreting life or energy, how it's moving. Can you just give like a few other, because those are good examples. I'd just like to hear a few more. I find that really interesting.
Sure. I can give examples without giving away any name or identifying characteristics of a particular client. Yeah. The first one that comes to my mind is a man that I worked with some years back. And he had come to me because he read one of my blog posts and was intrigued. And he said, listen, man, I don't know how you overcame this, but I am dealing with my own issue. He says to me, he was molested repeatedly by his stepfather, and his stepfather never was punished and died without ever facing any kind of charges. And so he just was carrying a ton of resentment around this. So my work with him was about him being able to give forgiveness to somebody that he clearly did not want to give forgiveness to. Mm-hmm. And we did a number of practices that involved journaling, breath work, embodiment practices to help him transmute these feelings that were to just turn him into a really angry person. He's just angry with life. And some of our sessions, I just hugged the guy. I held for an extended period of time because he had big trust issues about being around men. I spent time with him locked in an eye gaze because, like most men, he had been indoctrinated into this idea that if you spend too much time in eye contact with another man, it either means they want to fight or fuck. And we had to deprogram that to get his nervous system to relax. It's like, how are you going to connect with another human being if you can't even just be present with them? So it was a big part of our practice. And after just like three or four sessions, I think I had four sessions with the guy. He was calmed down. And last report from him, he told me that he was now practicing Buddhism and going to a Buddhist temple every week. And it was really helping him.
That's positive. Definitely a positive outcome. I could get a little bit of that aspect of what you spoke about. You know, growing up in my neighborhood, you don't make contact with a lot of eye contact, especially with other men, unless you either know them and you're like, hey, what's up? But you need to say something in like the next 3 seconds, right? Or unless you're going to fight, unless like you hawking this guy down like, hey, you owe me this. And that's kind of the mentality that was developed, especially growing up in my neighborhood. So I could see how, unless like it's just that over masculine energy that you were projecting in that group, then it's not a lot of, hey, man, it's love, you know, dapping up, how you feeling? It's not, hey, throw some dirt on it. That's life, dog. Shh. Glad it wasn't me. You know what I mean? It's not a lot of sympathy growing up where I came from or empathy towards situations. So it is different to have another man sit with you and be like, hey, man, yo, I can see where you're coming from with that. It's going to take time to get through that and actually talk with you through that process. So, hey, man, definitely keep doing that work.
So I want to pivot a little bit. We've been talking about trauma and the tantra being a tool or a skill to use. I want to talk a little bit more about the intimacy part. Mm-hmm. And we could also circle back if you have any further questions, Jay, or Dreams, on the trauma part. But I want to talk about the intimacy part and whether you're in a 6-week relationship or a 6-month relationship, how can tantra...
Or 6 years.
Or a 6-year relationship. How can tantra help you build that intimacy or make it better?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I like that question a lot. I'm going to answer that by saying there are different modalities, different types of tantra. There is white tantra, which is more of a spiritual practice, a more platonic touch and platonic exercises. And there's red tantra, which is more in the sexuality range. And while I do dabble a little bit into red tantra, my primary toolkit comes from the white tantra toolbox. And like I had just shared, eye gazing is one of the tantra tools. There is a lot. I mean, we all have it. It's a cultural programming thing about the eye contact. Men between men, it's usually like a fight type thing. But for women, it's like a lot of women, really, even more so than men. For women, it's not safe to make eye contact with a man under any regards unless you know him personally and are trying to have sex with him. So women are really struggle with being present and making that eye contact with people. So in the way that our society works, too, is men are taught that emotions are bad and that we should repress them and stuff them down. Mm. And then women, on the other hand, are very opposite in that. Women are taught to put their own needs on the back burner, that their role in a relationship is to be the person who does the emotional work in the relationship. So you might ask a woman, like, what do you need? And she'll look at you and go, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. And then you ask the guy, hey, how are you feeling right now? And he'd be like, I'm not sure. I don't know what you're talking about. You ask a guy, though, what do you need? And he'd be like, oh, I need to eat tonight right now. I need to get home. I need to do this. I need to do that. Guys will answer what I need. Ask a woman how she feels, and she'll open up and just start talking right away. Mm. So what happens when you have this woman who can't communicate her needs and this man who can't communicate his feelings, and you put them together in a relationship, and this guy is like, hey, it's my responsibility to solve all your needs. And after a while, she starts getting resentful because all she wants is to be listened to. All she wants is to be allowed to have her emotional expression and just to be heard. But us guys, we're taught that, like, oh, your emotions, wait a minute, I can fix that. That's a problem. I don't want to see that. Yeah. My girlfriend is hurting. She's crying. That looks like a problem that I should solve. So don't cry, sweetie. Don't cry. I got this. And of course, the woman at first would be like, oh, that's so sweet. But do that a couple of times. And after a while, she's like, ah, this guy's an asshole. He won't listen to me. He's not present. He's not actually being with my emotions. And like, she'll go tell her girlfriends what a horrible listener you are. So when you talk about how does Tantra solve intimacy issues, is it takes a look at these things and flips it upside down. We teach men how to be more in alignment with their emotions, to express themselves. We teach women how to identify their needs, to stop being people pleasers, to learn how to say yes to things they actually want, to say no to things they actually don't want, and to just be more decisive in the way that they communicate. And on that flip side with men, it's like we give them a vocabulary toolbox to draw upon. Instead of saying, hey, how do you feel? And the guy goes, great or fine, which aren't really feeling words. We give them a toolbox of vocabulary words to start drawing upon so that he can expand himself and enhance his emotional IQ.
That's very, very important, no matter what relationship you're in, man. I can attest to that. Yeah. Man, we often like, we want to just problem solve. We want to fix it.
Yeah.
We jump in there like, oh, I see what's going on here. This is what I do, baby. I fix stuff. So what you're teaching, man, a lot of subjects that you are concentrating on when you're filled, you don't get that in a lot of other environments or teachings per se. That's not necessarily the concentration, but that's literally the solution to a lot of relationships. Having that perspective from the man and have that perspective from women of this is what's going on with my partner. Now, how can we find this middle ground to communicate essentially, right? So how do you feel like the time frame with working with women as opposed to working with men? Is it easier to work with women to get them to kind of this realization of the needs talk and then get the men with this realization of the wants and emotional talk, you know? I'm just curious in that mindset.
Yeah, I find that funny. Brothers, I hate to tell you that it's definitely easier with women because...
Say it ain't so. You got the code.
Yeah.
Bro code.
You got the code.
Yeah. When I work with men, I have some rules and some agreements that I make about how we speak in a container. And for most men, there are new ways of speaking. It is not how most of us grew up. It is not how most of us are taught. And I'm teaching men to be more in their feminine communication techniques, how to identify their own feelings and needs and put them together so they can respond more appropriately to their partner's needs. Women get these things right away. They just do. As a general rule of thumb, women are more invested in themselves and learning relationship tools. Although that's changing, I'm seeing a huge shift in that over the last few years. More and more men are getting involved in doing the shadow work, doing the emotional paperwork, and wanting to learn the tools. More and more men really want to better understand the world of women, and it's actually quite a beautiful thing.
Nice, very nice. We hear that you have this thing to where you put together an event, and there's like a speed dating event. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Tantra Speed Date. Now, so I am a host facilitator for Tantra Speed Date. Tantra Speed Date was actually created by my good friend Guy Shahar, who lives in New York. His company is called the Tantra Institute. And so I technically work for him. But the Tantra Speed Date is this amazing event. I host and put together workshops on my own all the time. But Tantra Speed Date has taken the Tantra toolbox and put it together in this really amazing and fun way to help people connect. It kind of got started as this answer to the problem of online dating, where most people are just going onto an app and they're swiping left or swiping right based on how they think somebody looks. They're attractive, go right, they're left, go left, you know, go left. And it becomes this addictive dopamine hit. And there are some people who are really great at figuring out how to start a conversation online and moving it forward, but most people don't get it. Most people don't. So, you know, we get online and you've heard maybe a couple of success stories. You know somebody who's had success. And so it gives you hope that you keep trying, because it's certainly easier to swipe on photos than it is to go out and actually risk rejection on out in the real world. And truth be told is online dating is not designed for your success. It is all about the app making its money. They charge you as a man money to be able to send more messages and more likes and more little hearts, maybe even paying money to get your messages moved up. And so, you know, statistically, if I remember the statistics correctly, like women are getting thousands of messages from a guy and, you know, they're just inundated. Whereas guys maybe get one out of 1,000 responses, which makes it when a guy gets onto an app, he's not really invested in putting a lot of time into every message he sends. A lot of guys just send, hey, you know, because who has time? He's got to send 1,000
hey.
Messages.
Hey, I exist.
Yeah, exactly. So like he sends 1,000 messages that say, hey, he gets one response back. And then one out of every 10 of those responses back actually goes to a direction that might be favorable for him. So he's got to send 10,000 messages in order to get one date. Whereas a woman posts her profile up and, you know, she's got 1,000 messages, potential suitors within a few hours. The online dating world is just, it's a mess. It's not really creating connection. It's not creating intimacy. And all it does is perpetuating the kind of shallow idea that we are going to connect with somebody based on how they look instead of how do I feel around this person? Does this person's energy help my nervous system calm down? Am I going to be in a peaceful, healthy relationship with this person? So when we get together and do tantra speed dating, we do what's called a puja. A puja is an ancient Indian ritual. Typically, the way it's done is men form an outer circle and women are in an inner circle. So during this dating game, as we like to call it, the ceremony piece is this puja where you do a different exercise with each person. So the women will rotate from one partner to the next. And then at the end of each exercise, the men are asked to close their eyes, bring your hands into namaste. And then women, please reach for a bead. They have a necklace around there. They're with a pouch with colored coated beads. And if you'd like to connect with this man later, please drop a bead in his pouch, sending him a blessing. And then ladies, please on three, step silently to your left. So that when the men open their eyes, they have no idea if they've even got a bead in their pouch or not, which it just it makes a more natural thing. It's like, okay, this woman has said, hey, I like this guy's energy. And then after the event is over, we go through when we match up all the beads and pouches. The guys have a special color, their pouch is numbered. So it takes us about an hour and a half to go through and count out all the beads and match them up. And then we put them in the computer and we just send everybody the email. So they now you can
you
start.
Person.
Yeah. So here's somebody who expressed interest in you. They liked something about you. So now invite them out for coffee or tea or maybe a phone date or something.
I think that's a dope event.
I don't know about you. Growing up in the 80s or the 90s, I remember like if you liked a girl, you had to go ask for her number. And then you had to go call her. And then you would start the talking process. You were talking to a girl and you'd be on the phone with her for hours. I had a 25-foot long phone cord and I had to go hide in the closet. My parents didn't know what I was up to, but I was, you know, I was trying to court a girl and I spent hours and hours talking to her before we ever met up. And it's just not the way things work anymore. Like, people will go and send a couple of messages and they're trying to get a girl to come over right away. And like, even if you're successful, did that really result in creating a long-term relationship? It's just, it's not realistic in my opinion.
And in the tantra speed dating, you mentioned that the woman would rotate with the guys. What sort of fun exercises they do in that event?
We do stuff like partner yoga and contact improv. And we give sentence stems where we ask you to complete a particular sentence back and forth to each other. The problem is most people go on a date and they don't know what to say. They get so stuck in the superficial. What is your name? Where do you live? What do you do for a living? Like, is that really going to create a relationship with this person, a connection? I mean, they're good things to ask, but maybe not right away. So we're like, hey, follow the side chatter out and just focus on the exercise that we give you at each station. Focus on creating that energetic connection and just notice it. How does it feel in your body when you're in front of this person? how does that feel? How does that your nervous system feel in front of this person? Mm. Let go of like, do I feel an attraction for this person? Instead, just notice what is the chemical reaction happening in your body?
That's definitely a new approach. To
I
like it a lot.
Yeah, because I can look back and think about my days when I was swiping and using that for the dopamine rush on a regular basis. It can certainly take up a lot of time. And I remember going on dates and it's like, this is a strange thing. Like people that you would think on paper, quote unquote, based on the attraction, oh, you think you're going to vibe with this person. But it's such a funny thing that when you're with somebody, either you feel comfortable and there's just like this open pathway of you're tuned into the same frequency or you're not. In some cases, obviously, I think you have to break the ice and maybe you're just not there yet. But it's really weird how it can totally not be there. And I can look back in times in the past where it's like from going on a bunch of dates, it's you can just tell it's not there. Mm-hmm. Whereas you, with other people, you're like, I can tell there might be something here and maybe I'm reading into the wrong things. But I could clearly always feel when it's like, I feel like something like we're trying too hard or we're not connecting type of vibe. And so I think that to be able to come together in this environment, I'm sure people can take some tools or experiences from this that they can take into their endeavors in the future. But I really like the idea of it a whole lot.
I agree. It reminds me a little bit of, you know, salsa or like dancing in a sense, having those exercises, how somebody moves or how you feel when you dance with that person. You know, do you laugh when you make a mistake or do you like, do you panic when you make a mistake or you step on somebody's foot, the reaction? It reminds me of that type of communication and I could see how it works. You know what I mean? And I like the piece about the beads. You guys do a lot of work and invest a lot of extra time to create this unique experience. And that's something that I don't want to just have it slide under the table that it's not seen because it's the background work that you guys are doing with this process too. So kudos and hats off to you for that process and creating something new.
Yeah, I guess I'll just mention that I know that you have listeners that will be from all over on this podcast, but you can Google Tantra Speed Date. We have them in probably over 60 cities every month at this point around the globe. So if you're single and you're wanting to meet somebody, and it's just a great way to meet people. And then, yeah, just Google it.
Yeah, we'll include the link in the show notes below this episode. What I love about what you covered, especially the intimacy part, you know, growing up in Trinidad, you know, intimacy is something you just don't learn in school.
No.
You learn that it's mostly physical. And Tantra, I think, introduces, as you mentioned, a new dimension of communication, of exploring emotions, of exploring touch, exploring being present. And I think when you get into that part of deeper intimacy, all those aspects are so important. And you touched on the trauma part of how it can help tap deep into finding and resolving embedded trauma in the body. I love all that aspects. Jane, Dreams, is there any questions, any more questions that were coming up on the end of the episode?
You know, I wanted to touch on, I probably, through my ignorance, I probably was comparing Tantra to like Kama Sutra. So I apologize if I was taking it there. I find it just really fascinating. I think it certainly piqued my interest to want to explore it more, whether it's to help bring out some of my past traumas or be able to improve my level, my connection with my wife and friends and people. I feel like I could dive deeper into a handful of different topics. But I think, I mean, like where do you recommend people that are curious? Like what's the first step of where to go to explore more information? Like what do you recommend? You have resources, I imagine.
I do. I guess I'll start by saying that Tantra has largely been taught word of mouth for literally now hundreds, if not thousands of years. And that's primarily because Tantra is meant to be experiential, not so much academic. But there are books. There are plenty of books out there in the world. And you can learn about the philosophy and culture by reading many of the books. I do have a list that I share with people. I can share that with you, and you could put it in your notes at the bottom of the
book.
But I have about 20 books that are pretty amazing, where you can learn all kinds of things. I've personally read over 200 books on Tantra, and I whittled it down to about 20. So I'll get that list to you. Ooh. I live in San Diego. I published a weekly e-newsletter. It goes out every Tuesday. If somebody wanted to, they could subscribe to my e-newsletter at tantrasd.com. SD for San Diego, tantrasd.com. And I have my personal website, which is shivaj.com. If someone were interested in knowing more about me and my work, they can contact me through the website. I could also send them a resources guide. The Tantra SD website is currently under construction, but you can sign up on the email list there. And eventually it will have a resource guide listed there on the site. It's just not available at this very moment. But if somebody wanted that, they can reach out to me through shivaj.com and I can get that to them right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do have one more quick question. This was coming to my mind. I feel like I've heard the term like tantric breathing. I know you had mentioned some stuff about like breath work or breathing, but can we just explain the connection of our breath? Or is there, obviously I think you can go so deep with this, but like just basic level, like of if you're not breathing and letting things flow, you're trapping things. Is there like some basic or any tools we could leave somebody with as far as like a tool of breathing?
Like an exercise.
The power of breath or exercise.
Yeah, I could. I'll share a really quick and easy one with you guys right now. We call it the three-heart breath. So I'm going to invite you and anyone else who may be listening to sit in a nice upright posture and go ahead and close your eyes. And if your feet are flat on the floor and you can kick off your shoes and have your feet kind of just in contact with the ground, even better. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a few breaths in through the nose and bring that air and just visualize it moving down into the heart. And as you exhale, imagine a green light expanding and emanating from your chest and filling your entire body. And now take another deep breath, nice and slow, in through the nose, bringing it down into the heart. And as you exhale, imagine that green light emanating from your chest and coursing through your entire body. Green, by the way, is the color of the heart chakra. It is the color associated with love. And take one more deep breath. And now send that oxygen down into your body, into your heart chakra. And again, on the exhale, allow it to expand, opening the chest, filling your body with even more love. And now slowly open your eyes and come back to being present with us here in this space. And so this three-heart breath is just meant to be a calming, soothing breath. So for example, you don't have to breathe hard. You don't have to breathe heavy. You don't even have to breathe deep. But if you're ever in a stressful situation, this three-heart breath is something that can bring you back to presence, help calm you, bring your nervous system back to a regulatory place. You know, there are breathwork modalities out there where you're breathing hard and heavy and panting and such. You know, the Wim Hof comes to mind, and I think it's a wonderful system. But the tantric breathing is usually much more natural. It's much more calm. It's much more intentional. It's about bringing awareness to yourself, to your body, to your surroundings, to your mindset, to your thoughts, and just being with what is.
I like it.
Amazing.
I like it a lot.
Feel peaceful.
Yeah.
And that's the experiment. That's Manhood Experiments. We usually have an experiment at the end of the episode. So that's perfect. So again, Shiva, I want to, Dreamzy will wrap us up, but Shiva, I want to thank you for coming on, sharing your knowledge and your deep passion for the subject. Again, listeners, we'll have in the show notes below this episode, we'll have the website, the newsletter, and the books you recommend. So be sure to download that, reach out to him. And Dreams, you want to wrap us up?
Of course, of course. I had another question about hypnotherapy, but I'm going to save it. Y'all going to have to check out the back credits and things like that and check us out on Instagram to get those juicy little nuggets, listeners. But we're going to let clap it up for my man Shiva J in the house. Watch your mouth. Big Dreams in the house. T-Rex in the house. J-Dragon in the house. This is the Manhood Experiment. So until next time, I want to say thank you all for listening in. Thank you, Shiva J, for joining us today. We love y'all. Take care of yourselves, as you know. And then we'll see you on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment. We out.
Boom.
Thanks, guys.
No, thank you. Hey, what's up? This is Big Dreams. Thank you for checking out today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Not only does your feedback matter, but it helps us to connect with others just like you that find value in our weekly episodes. So subscribe, share, and speak with your friends and family about today's episode. And most importantly, take care of yourself, keep growing, and join us again on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment.